Welcome to our third episode of the Twins Hoop Podcast. I'm your host, Adnan Nathani, and as always, I'm joined by my twin brother, Adel Nathani.
Thank you, all of you, for your support and feedback, and please keep it coming. We're working on new content for everyone, getting our social media channels right, and working on twinshoop.com so we can get good content to all the fans of the show. Tell your friends and those interested in good takes on basketball about Twins Hoop, and also follow us on our Twitter at Twins Hoop. We're also running on iTunes, Spotify, Anchor, and everywhere else you listen to podcasts. So please give us a follow and give us a listen. We're depending on our loyal listeners to help this thing grow.
Yeah, thanks, Adel. And keep in mind, this is by the fans and for the fans. So keep your feedback coming. So for today's podcast, we're going to talk about the free agency period, some of the recent signings, free agents that are still on the market. We'll have a friend of the podcast join us, Hussein Narani, to talk about the Knicks, Carmelo Anthony, good fit for him. And we'll also talk about some summer league players, where we will discuss some hits and misses of summer league. But first, Adel, would love to start with free agency. Some of the signings that we've seen recently, I'll start with Brook Lopez. You know, he signed for a one-year deal at $3.4 million. He made about, I think, $18 million last year with the Lakers in the last year of his contract. 7-foot center, can hit the three, get rebounds. Are you surprised he took less than he's worth?
Yeah, I am. And we've seen this with a few players around the league counting on themselves. And he's definitely thinking that he can get a nice payday next year, maybe even lock up a long-term contract. While I do think it's an excellent fit for the Milwaukee Bucks, I am surprised that he took less than he's worth. I would love to see him, and we may disagree on this, on the Rockets. It does not look like Clint Capella is going to get his contract, which we'll talk about later. But the Rockets could have signed him at a contract, maybe offering him $10 million, and I think that would have been a nice fit.
Yeah, maybe. But, the thing with the Rockets is they already have one almost 7-foot center that can't play defense. His name is Ryan Anderson. So I don't know if you could have two. Look, Brook Lopez is a good player, and he's their stopgap at center, right? They've got Thon Maker, who they're hoping will be their, superstar center. I'm a huge Thon Maker fan. I can't wait for him to be unleashed. And I'm hoping with Mike Budenholzer in charge that they'll be able to unlock that roster with Giannis as well.
You've been big on Thon Maker for a while, and I'm just not seeing it. I mean, how many years has he been in the league now? Is it three years?
Yes, he's been in the league for about 3 years. But keep in mind, Thon is only, 21 years old. Right?
I mean, yeah. I guess. I mean, what you're saying does make sense. Brook Lopez, I'm excited to see him with in the East again with the Bucks. Bucks are going to be a good team this year. I'm looking forward to seeing Giannis's growth.
Yeah, and one of the things you mentioned, Adel, is players taking one-year deals. Another player that took that, Kylo Quinn. The same thing. He took a one-year deal, $4.5 million, the mid-level exception with the Pacers. And we also saw the same with Mbah Moute going from the Rockets to the Clippers on a one-year mid-level. It's a common theme we're seeing. I think teams are saving for that big 2019 free agency.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of Kylo Quinn, I'm a huge fan of his. He does everything right. Grabs boards, plays solid defense, sets hard picks. I'm a big fan of Kylo Quinn. But I also think the Rockets, they've lost out on two of their best defenders in Trevor Ariza and Mbah Moute. I mean, they've lost two of their good forwards, good defenders. I think that's going to be a huge loss for the Rockets.
The Rockets definitely, I don't know what they're doing. They gave Chris Paul, who I think played in 50-something games this past year, they gave him a 4-year max. You lose Ariza, you lose Mbah Moute, your best defensive players.
Yeah.
And then you don't sign Capella, who – I'm hearing from a lot of people that are in the know that Capella's pretty mad about this. I mean, he thought he was going to get taken care of, especially when you see DeAndre Jordan getting $24 million, and Capella's younger and probably better at this point in his career.
Yeah, Capella, younger DeAndre Jordan. He can get out there on the perimeter, defend the smaller guards if he has to. Rim runner, shot blocker. However, you have been a big fan of his. I have not. I don't think he's worth $100 million.
Well, I mean, I am a fan of Capella, but no, I don't think he's worth $100 million. Look, I think when you're a restricted free agent, as Capella is, you got to go get an offer. And sometimes the market just says, you know what, we don't want to pay a center $20-plus million a year. And, you know, let's look at – we've talked about the pros, but the cons are he can't shoot, he can't hit free throws, he can't hit threes. You can't really play him, you know, in the fourth quarter sometimes offensively. So it's really tough for the Rockets to justify paying, you know, Chris Paul, James Harden, and Capella, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah. Yeah. 30 plus million each or whatever it comes out to. What do you think's a fair value for him?
You know, I think that he probably will just take a 1 year deal. You know, $8-10 million, something like that, and then hit free agency again next year.
Wow.
And we've talked about the free agency market next year. Kyrie Irving, Jimmy Butler, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, just some of the big names on the market. There's going to be more teams with cap space than ever before, and a lot of those teams are going to strike out. So guess what they're going to do? You know, this is reminds me of when LeBron went to the Heat, joined Wade and Bosch, and Carlos Boozer got a max contract from the Bulls because they struck out on everyone else. So I think, you know, you think about something similar could really happen next year. And if I'm Capella and some of these other guys we're going to talk about, I may just take a 1 year contract.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, so many teams have cap space next year. Someone's going to strike out. It's just bound to happen. It happens every couple of years. We see all these teams with cap space. And, you know, usually it's some of these small market teams, like you look at the Kings or even the Bucks or whatnot, but yeah, someone's going to strike out, so I think that's an excellent point.
Yeah, and, you know, we talked about Capella, who's still available. There's a couple other restricted free agents that are still available. Jabari Parker, Marcus Smart, Rodney Hood. You know, the common denominator is that they're all restricted, right? And their own team can match, but a team has to be able to put an offer in front of them. And there's not a market for these guys right now. You know, why hasn't Jabari Parker been signed yet?
Yeah, I don't know. I think he'd be a good fit on a few teams out there. You know, I threw the Magic out there, but I think that now that they've got Gordon and some of those young guys, they may not need him. But I would love to see him on. Let's see. I think he'd be great on the Heat. I think he'd be good on the Bulls. I mean, the Knicks could use anybody at this point.
Yeah, I mean the Knicks they're definitely saving for 2019. You know, I think Jabari Parker, Marcus Smart, you know, these guys are candidates for, if they get renounced, I think they will get a lot of teams that line up. But until then, I really don't see a lot of options for them because teams could just say, hey, look, let's just sign you to the qualifying offer, which might happen with Marcus Smart. Now, it came out that the Kings were actually going to make an offer. But then it came out they're actually not going to make an offer. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, that's it seems like it's something that's Marcus Smart's team probably leaked.
Yeah, it's one of those things where the agent's like, oh, hey, this guy, they're going to sign him. He's going to get away from you. Watch out.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I think Boston called a bluff there.
Yeah. You know, going back about the qualifying offer, the Celtics, you know, it wouldn't make sense for them to renounce Smart, you know, unless they had some kind of, you know, a shooter they wanted to lock down or something and they needed the cap space, but they don't need that. The Bucks, I don't see them renouncing Jabari either, but Smart is one of those players that I do think that next year he can get a nice payday. Parker, because of his injuries, I think his mindset's probably, you know, let me lock this down now because I've been injury prone.
Yeah, and then I think that's great. I think another restricted free agent who I think this time last year we thought was probably going to get paid, Rodney Hood.
Yeah, his stock has fallen quite a bit. I mean, especially with his, you know, him sulking on the bench and not wanting to go in, you know, telling the coach that he didn't want to go in. Jose Calderon wanted to go in or should go in instead. I mean, his stock has fallen quite a bit. But I read about an hour ago that the Pelicans are actually interested in getting Rodney Hood.
I mean, the Pelicans need shooters. Look, they lost Cousins. They lost Rondo. They've got a couple of shooters, but the answer cannot be Solomon Hill again, right? Like that is, if your answer is who's going to start at the two or three is Solomon Hill, you're in deep trouble. and Anthony Davis, who just bought a house 90 minutes outside of L.A., a mansion there.
Oh, there you go, planting the seeds.
Look, I just think Lakers, Davis, it just makes perfect sense. Free agency 2020. Let's get it going now.
Man, you're already going with the conspiracy theories. You bought everybody buys a house in L.A. now.
That's true, but only the superstars find their way to L.A.
Okay. real quick about the Pelicans. They're obviously trying to contend. They want to make Davis happy. What moves do they have that they can make? I mean, I know they have Holiday, they have Davis, they have Randall, but they need a superstar.
Yeah, they need a lot of help. Look, I think with them, you have to hope that your free agency signings pay off. You have to hope that going into training camp with Mirotic and Randall and a healthy Drew Holiday is just going to make your team better. It's one of those things that, you know, when Cousins went down, Davis played at this unbelievable level. Yeah. He's getting MVP buzz. You got to hope he's doing that again. I mean, look, if Davis is scoring like 20 and 10, and that's good for every other player in the NBA, but he's got to put up like 35 and 18 and to win games. And that's the kind of way he's going to have to play all year.
Yeah, he could definitely play like that, but it's so taxing for a big man to perform like that in this league that calls for fast breaks, 10 plus threes made a game. I mean, this it's not a big man's game, and he is the perfect big man center, but he needs help.
You know where he'll have a lot of help?
Where? Please tell us, man.
The Los Angeles Lakers, 2020.
All right. Well, real quick about the Lakers, you mentioned Rondo. I was reading that the first thing that Rondo did when he signed with the Lakers, he was speaking with Rob Pelinka, and he asked Rob Pelinka to introduce him to the film guy, because he wanted film on every guy on the Lakers roster so he could study their tendencies.
You say to study the tendencies. I think it's because Rondo's crazy. He reminds me of Heath Ledger's Joker, and he just wants to play prank with everyone and just kind of mess with all the players. I don't believe it for one second.
No,
hopefully I'm wrong.
He's known around the league as a genius. His offensive genius. He sees the game differently. You know, we saw playoff Rondo in the Bulls, on the Bulls and the Pelicans. Hopefully, if he actually takes this mentoring role with Lonzo, I think it's going to be really good for Lonzo.
Yeah, we'll see how that works out. Rajon Rondo as a mentor. I can't wait.
Oh, man.
And now we have a friend of the Twins Hoop podcast, and we're going to discuss the Knicks, Carmelo Anthony. And anytime we talk about Carmelo Anthony, we got to have his number one defender on, Hussein Durrani. Hussein, welcome.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, Hussein, Adele and I were just talking. Have you seen the movie Back to the Future?
I have.
You have? Okay. How about, I'm talking about part two.
I've seen all the parts.
So, you know who you are in Back to the Future Part 2.
Yes, I do. I do know my role.
You're Biff.
No, yeah. I mean, I'm not gonna disagree with it. You know, you guys have brought it up before, and I'm not gonna confirm or deny the allegations.
For those of you who don't know the storyline of Back to the Future or Hussein, Biff goes forward in time, gets the sports almanac, goes back in time to give it to his younger self. And then when he goes back forward in time, he's a millionaire because Biff has won every single betting game. And Hussein has won every fantasy league I've ever been in with him. Fantasy football 2 years in a row, fantasy basketball, every pick'em league. He's got hundreds of dollars to speak for it. Hussein, since you can see the future, you know what the future's like. We have two questions. How many titles do the Lakers win with LeBron? And how many playoffs in a row do the Knicks miss?
We're going low early, huh?
Yeah.
I honestly think that with LeBron there, you guys are going to easily make the playoffs, obviously, in the first, season that he's there. But you guys are going to need a long way to get some more supporting cast for him to actually win a title.
Don't ignore the second part of that.
Yep. The Knicks, we'll miss one more year. That's about it. And then we're good. Next year, Kristaps will come back halfway through. We pretty much tank halfway through the first half of the season. We pick up Jimmy Butler and Kyrie Irving off the season, and we're good.
Oh, wow. So you really think that Kyrie's going to leave the Celtics and join Jimmy Butler on the terrible Knicks?
I do. There have been reports out, you know, kind of talking about Jimmy Butler and Kyrie wanting to play together as recently as, I think, a few weeks ago. I think they were interviewing Kyrie, and he said it didn't make sense to re-sign right now for the Celtics. Sense to sign a max contract now, when does it ever really make sense to sign that, you know, extra year, especially coming off of an injury?
Yeah, coming off
surgery, at least.
Coming off an injury, and he's had a history of a few injuries. However, he is still young, well, youngish. But, I mean, the Knicks management just seem incompetent.
Fizdale, it's the Fizdale era. Be prepared. It's coming.
Yes, it's the secret weapon, Fizdale and Porzingis.
What's going to be the outlook when the Knicks strike out on all the free agents next year? Are you guys going to sign Capella to a max free agent contract?
No chance. I really do believe in this new process. You know, Fizdale's really – I think they're really committed to him. They know this is a rebuilding process. Like I mentioned, next year is definitely a rebuild year. We signed a bunch of one-year contracts. We have some people that we're trying to move, expiring contracts. I think we're in a good position. I think we're setting ourselves up to grab a couple of free agents to play with Porzingis. You know, we got to keep him happy because you never know if he wants to walk out if we continue to not show that the management can do anything.
I really think that the Knicks, as much as we're hating on him, I think that the Knicks are going to be in the running for Kevin Durant.
Ooh.
Hot take.
You know, I think Kevin Durant, if he wins one more title, you know, I could see him totally being like, you know what, let me go help some franchise that's completely pathetic and let me go become a godlike figure there.
Well, okay. Just to get you, Adnan, real quick, I've been listening to the podcast. I've been a long-time listener through all two episodes, and it seems that you always have to hate on the Knicks and Carmelo Anthony.
Wow. Well, you know, it's easy to hate on Carmelo Anthony after the shit year he just
Wait. Before you go in on Carmelo Anthony, Adnan, real quick, Hussein.
Yep.
If the Knicks get Kevin Durant,
yes,
you will now have the premier franchises in the NBA all vying for championships. And what I mean is the Knicks, the Warriors, the Celtics, and the Lakers. I think even Adnan would agree that that'd be great for the league.
It'd be great for the league, but I just don't see the Knicks being able to do it.
For what? Do you think it's ownership? Is it Dolan? What's your opinion?
That's right. Dolan just made some moves recently to separate MSG from the Knicks, so he could be setting up for a sale.
Rumors.
You heard it here first.
Speaking of terrible Knicks players and former Knicks, Carmelo Anthony is a free agent. He's saying, why don't the Knicks just sign him?
We went through that experiment. It didn't really work out. You tried doing that with Stoudemire. It just didn't seem to work out.
Look, I said he's a free agent. Carmelo's working on a buyout or a trade from the Thunder. The Thunder have given permission to teams like the Rockets and Heat to speak with Carmelo. You know, the usual suspects are involved: Lakers, Sixers, Rockets, Heat. You know, what are your thoughts on a good fit for Carmelo? Where should he sign when he will have the choice to go anywhere in the league?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, especially when you look at where he is now in his career. You know, last year was obviously his lowest in scoring, whether it be because he didn't have that ask to be as ball dominant as he has in the past. I really think he needs to embrace taking on that bench role of being that scorer, which kind of makes sense for him to join Houston. They did lose a couple of forwards there in Richard Mbahamute and Trevor Ariza. So it makes sense for him to slide right in there. He can at least start for that team, so you know he can keep that going for himself. But it's the whole thing with him and D'Antoni again. They did confuse the rumors that that's why D'Antoni had left in the first place.
Yeah, I think the D'Antoni thing might be a problem. You know, we mentioned this on the last podcast. D'Antoni plays only a few of his guys, especially in the playoffs. He goes maybe seven deep. He plays the starters. 37, 38 minutes. And I don't think Melo can do that anymore. I'm actually a fan of Melo. I do think that he is going to have a better year this year. Just being with a player like Chris Paul if he goes to the Rockets.
What are we talking about? No way. Guys, we just saw Carmelo Anthony with two other All-Stars, and they barely got in the playoffs. They got out of the first round. And Carmelo was a spot-up shooter shooting 30% from three. What are we talking about?
Carmelo Anthony thrives off of having the ball and banging down low, playing bully ball, grabbing the board, telling everybody to get out of his way. And what happens when you're on the Thunder? You have to make way for Russell Westbrook.
Because he's better than Carmelo.
Westbrook wants his boards. Westbrook wants his boards. Melo wants his boards. The way Melo gets going, and just from someone who's not a fan and not biased, I see him get going when he grabs a board. He talks a lot of shit, and he just pushes the ball forward. I think that Melo is great in that position.
No, I agree. That's kind of where the issue comes. You know, back in 2016, 2017, when he was still with the Knicks, he was still averaging 22 points a game. Obviously, last year, he dipped that down to 16 points a game. It's a huge loss, and it's for that reason. When you get a rebound at OKC, they're not really asking Carmelo to push the ball full court. You know, you get the balls to Russell Westbrook, and you just let him, you know, bring it up.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I think Westbrook just throws people off. I mean, if you have KD, look what he did with KD. I mean, that was the common issue that we saw. You know, Westbrook hogging the ball. And Adnan mentioned, you know, he's with two other All-Stars. Paul George, you know, I don't think Paul George and Carmelo Anthony ever learned how to play together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're focusing on Russell Westbrook, but I don't think Paul George and Melo even learned that. But on the flip side, if Melo had embraced this six-man role, I think that the Thunder would have done a lot better.
So let's bring this back full circle. So I think we can all agree, look, the Rockets are probably the best fit for him on paper because he'll get the most playing time. That's what he wants. But Chris Paul, ball-dominant guard. James Harden, ball-dominant guard.
Wait, did you say Chris Paul's ball-dominant. Sorry to cut you off, but ball-dominant. But Chris Paul can easily rack up 10, 12 assists without even trying.
Right, but my point is,
So he's ball-dominant by decisions.
Smart basketball decisions and Carmelo Anthony don't go in the same sentence.
I'm talking about Chris Paul. If there's any point guard that Melo can have success in the playoffs with, it's a Chris Paul type.
Right, and I mean, I think the big thing with that is that rotation you guys were talking about, that seven-man rotation that D'Antoni usually goes through, the 7-8-man rotation. Now that they've lost those two forwards, they kind of had more of a defensive presence. Carmelo doesn't obviously bring that defensive presence that we've been kind of looking for, so I don't know if shooting more really adds to the equation as much as D'Antoni loves to, you know, no shot's a bad shot if you're open mentality is. I don't think they can make it back where they were without getting a little bit more defense, at least someone to match up with maybe Kevin Durant a little bit more, as impossible as that is.
Did you just mention defense and Carmelo Anthony?
The exact opposite.
Well, one team that Carmelo has been tied to is also the Heat, and I just want to know why.
Well, I can explain to you why it works for Carmelo, because that's where he can show up and play the brand of basketball he's been playing his entire career.
What brand is that?
ISO. He can grab the ball and he can be on the ball almost every other possession and, you know, drive the ball. There's no one really on the Heat
who needs
the touches. There's someone who makes the touches. Hassan White.
2008 basketball. 2008 basketball.
I can picture Pat Riley running down from his front office and just beating the shit out of Carmelo for running another ISO pick and roll.
Riley is the Heat are all in this plan that Riley makes them go on. It's that fat burning plan. And I don't know, you know, through the season, I saw Melo. He's looking a little bit chunky there.
He's on the Joe Johnson diet, man.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, the disrespect that comes out of my mouth.
I will say, I did put Carmelo on the Lakers in 2K, and it worked out great.
So let me ask you guys. Let me see, where do you guys feel Carmelo would fit best outside of Houston? We know that obviously that's where he'd get the most minutes, but where do you think he fits best? Is it Miami? Is it LA?
Look, I think if Carmelo was willing to come off the bench, there's two spots. I think one is the Lakers. You get to go play with your best friend, LeBron. But I think the second spot that he really should consider if he wants to turn his legacy around is the Golden State Warriors. Go sign for the minimum. Go sign for the minimum. Go come off the bench. Go win a title. And then your legacy, instead of being Allen Iverson, it'll be Dwayne Wade.
You know, and I do agree that Houston would be the best spot for him. But instead of the Lakers, I like the Nuggets. I mentioned this. Ooh. I think we talked about this a couple days ago. The Nuggets would be a great spot for him to stay long term. I think that if he went to the Nuggets, they have a solid team, solid two guard rotation. I really think that the Nuggets would be a good spot for him to redeem himself.
So for whatever reasons, I guess you would pick Denver. Why would Philly not fit those reasons? You know, they need the same kind of situation.
Ooh, I like that. Philadelphia.
Yeah, I like that. I didn't think about that too much. Why do you say Philly, Hussein?
Well, you know, they already have the young talent. They have people who can't really shoot, and you know, Ben Simmons at point guard. They definitely need some offensive punch off the bench. They have Covington. He may have to take that bench role in Philadelphia as well. He may just start to start. But you know, you need Covington out there. He's been great on defense, and if he's willing to take that role on Philly and you have Embiid scoring, and then once you get Embiid out of the game, you throw Carmelo in there, it's going to be hard to stop them from scoring.
Yeah, that's true. And the other thing is he could start there. Saying you make some good points. So Philly's obviously a pretty good fit. I think we want to see Carmelo go somewhere and do well, especially you. Let's see where he goes. And, you know, we talked a little bit about the Knicks. I wanted to get your thoughts on Kevin Knox playing in the summer league right now. What are your thoughts there?
My man, Kevin Knox. But before we move on to Kevin Knox, one question, which I had a very, very heated argument with someone the other day about Carmelo Anthony. This can just be a yes or no answer. Is Carmelo Anthony a first ballot Hall of Famer?
Yes.
No.
Oh, my God.
Jesus.
So, Adele said no, and I said yes.
I'm surprised Adnan said yes, but okay. While he is a prolific scorer, he's not the greatest scorer of his generation.
He was drafted with so many great players.
Yeah, that's kind of tough.
It's hard. It's tough. Sure, it's tough.
Sure, great players, but out of his whole draft, of all the great players in his draft class, he's the only one that can't figure out how to win.
He's the only one who didn't join them on one team.
Dwayne Wade won a title without LeBron.
He won it with Shaq.
Okay, well, if we want
to... Okay, come on. Shaq was pushing 350.
Carmelo Anthony proved that he could play back in that season where he pushed the Nuggets, and it was not a very good Nuggets team all the way to 2009 Western Conference Finals where we lost to the Lakers, to your Lakers. That team wasn't that great. We had a lot of older players on that team, and Carmelo led them pretty hard. And if you remember that battle, Kobe versus Carmelo, that was... They went at it.
Yeah, I think I've even heard that Kobe has mentioned that was probably one of his toughest matchups that he's ever had to do in the playoffs was actually going up against Melo. You know, Melo was definitely bullying Kobe. Kobe tried to step up and guard Melo and just wasn't happening. Yeah, that was probably his best shot. A young J.R. Smith on that team as well.
Yep. I think he had Chauncey Billups running point.
That's right.
Older
that's
Kenyon right. Martin.
Yeah.
Yeah, but just last tidbit before we move on to Kevin Knox. I just want to say he's still the only player four medals, I believe three of which are gold. No other men's basketball player has that many medals, as well as the fact that he is going to be top 15. He's already top 20 scoring. I think after this year, he's going to be at least top 15.
Oh, my God. Please.
I just don't see how you put you know, I compare him to T-Mac's legacy.
Ooh, okay? I like that.
Mm. You know, Tracy McGrady, Hall of Fame player. At one point, there was a conversation of who's better, T-Mac or Kobe. Have we ever had a conversation other than Carmelo's rookie and sophomore year? We've never had a conversation of who's better, Melo or someone else, as far as the best player in the league.
Well, that's because the best player in the league was his best friend, LeBron James, that's obviously. True. You can't – I mean, LeBron James might be one of the greatest players of all time to play this game. Carmelo Anthony is one of the greatest scorers. Obviously, his game isn't as well-rounded as LeBron's is.
All right, wait, real quick. I'm going to name some players and tell me where you put Carmelo, okay, as far as scoring only.
Okay.
We'll take Jordan out of it, okay? Harden, Kobe, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Gervin, George Gervin. Yeah, those players. And Iverson, where do you put Carmelo Anthony for scoring, which is what he's known for?
I'm not going to put him – I'll tell you who I'm not going to put him in front of. I'm not going to put him above Kevin Durant purely because he is a one-of-a-kind specimen. Kobe Bryant, it's close for me to put him with Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant's a bona fide scorer, but I feel like there's some facets of Carmelo's game which you just can't stop. He had that size when he was younger. He could bang in the paint. He was a better three-point shooter, if I'm not mistaken, earlier in his career as well. You know, so I'd put him probably third or fourth on that list.
Ugh. I think that that's too high, and I get a sense you're reaching. And you also mentioned LeBron is one of the greatest players ever, and we're going to have a separate, which I'm assuming that some of our friends are going to be on. So we'll talk about rankings later. Now, Hussein, I really want to know, I want to hear your overreaction to Kevin Knox.
Okay, so not an overreaction. This is a proper and correctly put reaction. This man is the truth. The truth. This man has dropped 22 points in his first game. In his second game, he dropped another 19 points, and he's actually playing the Lakers right now. The game just finished up. He dropped 29 points.
Well, Lakers don't play defense, so I'm not worried about that.
Look, I've seen a summer league game where Darko and Andrea Bargnani were going at it, and they each dropped like 25 points. And like, so I think there's two things that play. One, summer league most of the time means nothing. But two, like, he is doing this against some pretty good players. I will say one thing about Kevin Knox. It's clear that the coaches have said to him, get to the rim on every single play. And this guy has just been relentless. He's explosive. He's a good two-way player. He's getting Paul George and Jason Tatum comps. I don't know if he gets that if he wasn't in New York. But I like the kid. I think it's a good pickup. I think he's a chance to start alongside Porzingis. And I think it's a good long-term play for them.
He has skills that translate against better players as well. He definitely has that mentality of I should have been taken earlier, which I love. But getting to the basket, explosive finisher, I mean, these are all qualities that are transferable to when you're playing against more experienced players. I definitely have a positive outlook at Kevin.
Not to mention, he was the youngest player drafted this year at 18 years old still.
Oh, yeah. That's a very good point, Hussein. Now to an FSU alum, Jonathan Isaac.
Hey, Jonathan Isaac, you know, I actually got the pleasure of watching him when he came to play Georgia Tech here in Atlanta, where I currently live. The thing is with him is we always knew his defensive presence. He was always there blocking shots throughout college. You know, as a rookie, he showed that defensive presence until he went down. But I really have been watching him, and it looks like he's kind of been lighting it up on the scoring end as well, which is really surprising because that's kind of the next step he needed to take.
Look, if you're not a stranger to this podcast, you know that I, Adnan Dattani, have shit on the Magic quite often. But I will say this. Jonathan Isaac, Mo Bamba will be the best front court in the league in 3 to 4 years. Jonathan Isaac is 6'10", pulling up on mid-range jumpers, dropping the hezzy on players. He's getting to the rim whenever he wants. This guy's built like Kevin Durant. He can hit some jumpers. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be as good as Kevin Durant. That's an all-world player. But I love what Jonathan Isaac's done. I would even go so far as to say they need to run their offense through him and not Aaron Gordon. And I think with Mo Bamba, who's also been playing pretty well and flashing a lot of defensive brilliance, those two have a really bright future, and I love what the Magic are doing there.
Yeah, you mentioned Mo Bamba. He's really showcased his defensive talent, and him and Jonathan Isaac are going to – I think they pair very well together. I'm not going to be as bold as you with your prediction, but with Bamba, he went up against DeAndre Ayton recently. While Ayton did get better of the matchup, I think Bamba got to show his talents. You know, he did have 5 blocks. The first one was on the first play of the game where he actually blocked Ayton's hook shot. So that's thanks to his 7'10" wingspan. So That's another skill that's transferable to the NBA. I'm all about overreacting to Bamba as well.
You know, I've been saying Mo Bamba has been hanging out a lot with Joel Embiid. I saw they played a one-on-one game right when he got drafted, and it looked like today those two and Jason Tatum were practicing today as well.
Yeah, future of the NBA right there. And also on that clip, you're talking about the one where Embiid shit on him and then he talked trash.
Right.
It's epic. Classic Embiid. we haven't mentioned DeAndre Ayton, the first pick. He looks like, to take it from Adnan, whenever he talks about, you know, hyping up a big man, a man among boys.
A man among boys, that's right. DeAndre Ayton, look, this guy needs to be genetically tested because he looks 35, but he's really only like 20 or 21. I don't understand how this guy looks like David Robinson looks now. Can someone explain that to me?
I think we need to see some birth certificates.
I think he's playing great. Look, DeAndre Ayton looks good, and I think it's he did say it's going to be the new Kobe and Shaq in Phoenix. I think we can all agree that's ridiculous and that's blasphemous. But you know, they got a good 1-2 punch there. But you know, I think the Suns are trying to make the playoffs, so you know, we'll see what happens there. And then the other guy is, I don't even know if we should really talk about him.
Did you guys actually catch, speaking of the matchups, I know we just talked about Ayton versus Mamba, did you guys see Ayton versus Marvin Bagley, the little bit of action that we got to see Marvin Bagley?
You know, Marvin Bagley plays for the Kings. And as a general rule of thumb, I don't pay attention to just terrible franchises who draft terribly and make terrible, terrible decisions.
Well, we talked about the Magic, but I guess you covered
how you feel about that. what we're trying to say is that we did not see that. Do you want to tell us about what you saw from Marvin Bagley?
Well, I mean, Marvin Bagley came out there, and he's a shooter. You know, we know he can score. He didn't have a great shooting night that night. You know, he was matched up against Ayton. And this is, I think this further is more of speaking to Ayton, because he showed him up. Ayton looks like the real deal. He really went out there and showed that he really should have been the first pick. 21 points and 12 rebounds in that game. For 15 and 7, shooting 5 of 13. I think he may have gotten hurt as well in that game. Obviously, we can't put everything into one game. But
yeah,
more so that Ayton just looks like a beast.
He does.
Yeah, he's looking good.
I think we've reached our threshold on talking about a Sacramento Kings player. So let's go to Jaren Jackson of the Memphis Grizzlies. Look, this guy had a debut for the ages. The number 4 pick in the draft, Jaren Jackson, hit 8 threes for 29 points in his first game.
I'm all about overreacting to Jaren Jackson. Jaren Jackson, we're going to look back on this draft and we're going to say, how is this guy not taken first?
Oh, man. Are you sure this is not an overreaction, guys? It's one game. It was one game.
I'm all about overreacting. Jaren Jackson is the future of the Grizzlies. Trade everyone, build around him. I'm all for it.
He was hitting step back threes. I mean, I think the thing on him was, we'll take time to shoot, to learn how to shoot. And he just comes out and hits 8 threes.
I think that was the game he was playing against Trae Young?
Yes.
Yeah, it made Trae Young look a little bit like a bad pick there.
Well, that's a good segue. Trae Young, his first game.
That is a bad pick.
His first game. 3 for 17 on field goals and 1 for 11 on threes. I think he was chucking it from the logo. Did you guys catch that?
Yeah, I'm not sure what he's doing. You know, he's. I will forever remember this draft as the one where Trae Young was drafted too soon.
Man, Trae Young's an interesting prospect, man, because it's not just his 3-point ability that we love to talk about. It's his passing ability. He just dropped 11 dimes the other day. You know, he's been putting up the assists. It may just be his body. He just needs to hit the weight room a little bit, you know, put some of those pounds on for him to really be able to play against some of these bigger guys at the NBA level.
Yeah,
that might be right. I mean, but still, you know, being such a Luka Doncic fan, I'm interested to see where this goes with Trae Young. They're going to be compared forever.
How do you feel that he's not going to play in the summer league at all?
I'm okay with it, man. He's a pro.
Yeah.
He's a pro. I mean, he's been playing with the big boy since he was, what, like 16 or something?
Yeah, he played in over 100 games this year already. You know, he should be getting some rest. And, look, I think that Luka should have been the number 1 pick. I think that he's going to be like one of the best players in the league in a few years. I just love his game, and there couldn't be a better coach for him to go to than Rick Carlisle.
Right, and I think Luka did play pretty well. As far as we were talking about him over in Europe, I think there was some kind of a tournament where he played against Porzingis and some of those guys, some of the Gasols. I don't think Porzingis was actually there because of his injury, but a lot of those European players, and he dominated. Their team won. So, I mean, he's definitely played some stiff competition out there too.
And, yeah, no, he definitely has. Saying, I don't know if you've been watching Harry Giles, the comeback kid. You know, he was the number one recruit out of high school. He tore his ACL. I think he might have even had two ACL tears. Everyone was scared of him. The Kings picked him up pretty late in the draft last year. And now he's playing in the summer league. He's playing pretty well. He's only 20 years old. Have you had a chance to watch him?
So just to be clear, we're talking about a Kings player.
Well played, sir.
All right. No, I actually have not been able to catch any of him. You said he was drafted last year, and so is he showing some improvement here in the summer league?
He is. You know what? He looks good. He's hitting a jump shot. He's looking explosive. I mean, this guy, if he did not get injured, would have been a top two or three pick last year. So really excited for him. And then, Adele, I know you want to talk about the young superstar for the Lakers.
Yeah, the Lakers, not sure if everybody heard in the offseason, they picked up quite a recruit in Mo Wagner. Probably the biggest news of the summer was picking up Mo Wagner, who's turned out to be a stud. And Adnan compared him to Kevin Love.
Look, that's my hot take. I think Mo Wagner is Kevin Love. There you go.
So they have Mo Wagner. They also have Sviatoslav Mikhailiuk.
What are we going to call him for short, signed.
Svi.
Svi.
Svi like it? And Svi will shoot the ball from deep.
Listen, guys, I have to tell you about Svi. He might be the only player in the league whose wingspan is shorter than his height. He's got those T-Rex arms.
Wait, that can't be right.
That is right. That's a fact. You can look it up. That is a fact. And Hussein, thanks for taking the time to talk to us about Carmelo Anthony, the Knicks, Summer League players. It's a joy to have you on. And any final thoughts before we let you go here?
Definitely some final thoughts. I mean, first of all, thanks for having me on. You know, I love being on. Feel free to reach out to me again anytime we need some Knicks talk or any other type of talk, I guess, in that point. Closing remarks. I just want to shout out the Knicks one more time. My man, Coach Fizdale. Future's looking bright. We got Frankie Doublestacks. Nickname was made by yours truly, Adnan Nathani. So future's looking good. I anticipate some futures in the next 3 years. In 3 years, we will have the championship.
Wow. We're going to hold you to that.
You heard it here first.
We're going to hold you to that. Thank you so much for your time. And as always, everyone, make sure you follow us at Twins Hoop on Twitter. Keep a lookout for our Instagram page, Facebook page coming soon, and the website coming soon as well. Thank you all for your time. Looking forward to talking to you guys again soon.
Thanks, Isaac.